You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
That the greatest thing we could do is go to Vegas, drink Chevys and water, smoke Marlboro Lights, and play blackjack. And a few years ago, one of the ex-inmates, in fact, he was in the first class I ever did at the Big Spring Federal Prison, called Linda and I, and he said he was living in Seattle, and he'd been hired to open a restaurant in downtown Vegas, not for the tourists, but for the home people in Vegas, a very plush restaurant. And they were paying him gobs of money to do this. And he said, Leland, I just couldn't turn it down. And he said, but I want you and Linda to come out. He said, I'll pay you your flight out here and back, and just stay with me a week. And so we did. First time I'd been back to Vegas. And it was the most boring place. It just, there wasn't, I did get kind of excited in that restaurant that they were just opening. The entree started at about $160. So I didn't eat over very much. In fact, he treated us one night. I'd never seen a place like this. He ordered his beef out of Chicago. He ordered his desserts out of San Francisco. He ordered this from some other place. He had this, all this stuff flown in. I mean, it was high dollar. And for an old boy from Coleman, Texas, I just stood there and looked around. You know, like the first time I went to Dallas. Boy, you know. But outside of that, it was, all of it was just red carpet and chandeliers, silver. And I thought, this is the most boring place. I was so glad to get back home, because you things just change. Your desires change. And I'm thankful that they did. I love that song. I love those words. I've come too far to look back. And thank God for that. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, for just a few minutes, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you'd like to do that and don't have a Bible, if you lift your hand, we got some Bible deliverers that will get you a Bible. Just keep them up till you get one. Let me say this about this Bible. If you do not have a Bible with you here in Odessa, then just keep that Bible as the rec room's gift to you. We got some more. We'll get you just in a second. Romans chapter 1. There were four great world empires, starting with the Babylonian Empire, and then the Medes and the Persian Empire, and then the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was one of the most low-class, perverted type of folks. They really disintegrated and fell from within. I guess the only way I could describe them that would bring you up to date on it would be they were just like America is today. Very same thing. We have moved from a God-fearing country to a God-challenging country. And it will be our undoing. I can tell you now, you can stick a fork in America, because we're done when we got away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to read, and we're not going to be able to cover all this tonight. Sometime in the next few weeks, I'll probably come back and finish this chapter. But we're going to start with verse 18. And I want to talk to you tonight about how an educated man becomes a fool. And we've got a land loaded with them. Have you ever noticed that people that get these high education nearly always are just anti-God, and they think they're smarter than everybody in the world. And they end up being dumber than rocks. They know this, they know that, and then they don't know anything. And yet, because they got education, I was talking to somebody, I forget who it was, this past week, but we're talking about, some people seem to think if you graduate from college, that you're just going to get a check every month. That's not quite the way it works. And I'm an old man. I've had a lot of different jobs. I've failed at a lot of stuff. But I only know of one job I ever got in my life because of my college degree. Now, I didn't say I got the education, but I get the degree. See, I could fake it. But I got a teaching job one time because they'd run short of teachers, and they contacted me. And because I had a degree, I was eligible to teach. That's the only job I've ever had that they cared about my background as far as education. How far did you go? It didn't make any difference. I thought, boy, when I got that, my folks, I was the first one in my family to get a college degree, and everybody thought that was really something. And it didn't pay a dime. I mean, I went broke a lot of times with a college degree. And I went just like that. See, it doesn't. If you think it's going to carry you through life, you can forget that all the way. But people come out and they become fools because of their wisdom. And we're going to see this as we read through here. So we're going to read. I'm going to make some comments as we read on some things here. But I want you to notice that for the wrath of God, that means His anger. God gets mad. We forget that. Nobody wants to mention that anymore. But to say the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is kind of interesting because what he's talking about, see, this is the truth. He's talking about people who hold the truth, like I am right now. Do you know there's a lot of people that use this book to make a living? They don't use it to win people to Christ. They don't use it to help people get their lives changed and on the straight. Now, they use it to make a living, make a lot of money, make false promises to people so they'll send the money. Hey, I remember hearing about a fellow one time. He went to his boss. They were mechanics. And he went to his boss and he said, sir, fellow working next to me stole apple out of my lunchbox. And the boss said, oh, wait a minute. Said, I don't think Bill would do that. Said, Bill is a deacon out to church. And he said, sir, them's the worstest kind. And sometimes he's right. He said, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Truth doesn't mean anything to them. They can hold it, but it doesn't mean anything. They've got it right in their hand. And by the way, the word there is hold, not suppress. It's talking about people that use this Bible, hold the truth physically right here. It has nothing to do with suppressing the truth. Verse 19 said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to you. See, nobody can be ignorant and say, I really didn't know. Because the Bible says that God has showed us. Every one of us in here tonight, whether you're in your teens or in your 80s, know there's a God. We know that. because God has showed it unto them. Notice what he said. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. What are some of the invisible things? Well, what about gravity? Can't see it. What about the wind? You can't see the wind. You can see the results of it. You can't see it. The Bible said that the wind listeth, wants to. And we can't tell. We can just see the results of it. And do you realize that God controls that? Which means, if he controls wind, he controls cyclones. He controls earthquakes. He controls tsunamis. He controls floods. He controls this weather. He's in it. We're sitting here talking about global warming. People are freezing to death because we got some of them smart people that are wanting to talk about stuff that's not happening. They just want to control things. And he said they are without excuse. Every one of us will get our chance to stand before Jesus Christ, and every one of us will be able to argue our case. Now, you might out-argue me. I don't think very well on my feet. I probably would never have made the debate team. Now, I've done a lot of arguing, just to argue. But I'm not very good at it. But we will get a chance. You'll get your day. I'll get my day to stand before Jesus Christ. And we all know there's no excuse. We can't say, well, I came from a dysfunctional home. Boy, when we come up with that word, that's not one of them big words, them big psychological words. Anybody in here come from a perfect home? Everybody I know came from a dysfunctional home. I never met anybody that didn't come from a dysfunctional home because there's not any perfect homes. We didn't have a perfect daddy, didn't have a perfect mother, and God knows they didn't have a perfect kid. Everybody comes from a dysfunctional home. We can try to blame that if we want to. We can blame the neighborhood. Every now and then somebody said, well, I didn't get to finish my education. I used to just kind of feel sorry for them. I got where now I ask, why didn't you? Guess why they didn't? They quit. They quit. It wasn't that they couldn't go on. They just quit. They didn't want to go any further. Most people get as much education as they want. But he said they're without excuse. There are things all around us that prove God's there. Look at a newborn baby. Anybody ever try to build a tree? Hey. All around. You look at an airplane. Some people say, well, I don't believe in that phase stuff. Let me ask you a question. When an airplane flies over, do you believe it's got a pilot? Well, you can't see him. Why would you believe? If you can't see it, why? Some people say, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. Well, okay, here's Southwest Airlines. They don't have a pilot. Well, the next time you see a plane fly over, you call someplace and say, that plane don't have a pilot because you can't see him. But we all know it's got a pilot. How do we know that? We know there has to be somebody flying the plane. You can take the simplest thing in here. And styrofoam cup. Some of you got some. You got a styrofoam cup. If I told you that styrofoam cup just happened, would you believe me? You said, poor old man. I get that a lot anyway. Bless his heart. My son, when I had lung cancer, my son came out. And he was questioning me, Dad, are you feeling all right? My oldest boy. And, Dad, how's this going? And he was kind of getting on my nerves. And I said, son, I'm doing fine. He said, well, now, Dad, you got to take care of yourself. And all of a sudden, he'd become a doctor. And I said, let me tell you something, Mark. I said, It's a real advantage to being old. And boy, he got that blankish look on his face, because I knew in his mind he couldn't think of one advantage of being old as he looked. And I said, let me tell you something, son. I said, used to I could say stuff and people would hit me. Today I'd say the same thing and they just shake their head and say, bless his heart. You get by with stuff like that. When I found out that it was a felony to hit a guy 65 or over, I really got smart mouth. I'll just pop off and hit me. You go. You see? They're without excuse, he said. Because, and here's why. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, notice, they know. We're not talking dumb here. We're not talking ignorant. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They weren't thankful. The air you and I breathe. And let me tell you something. That doesn't make a bit of difference to any of you unless you've ever been in a place where it's hard to breathe. You've ever been in a place when the air was cut off and you had to fight to breathe? My, that air, that oxygen is so good. But they glorified him not as God. They knew who he was. Said, we're not. Now notice, this is deliberate. This is willful. This is determined. This is a choice that they're making. Professing themselves to be wise. Here's how an educated man becomes a fool. Professing themselves to be wise, God said, they became fools. And notice what they did. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, to creeping things. They began to liken God to a man. Worship men. There's men that have claimed to be God. They've had followers that worship them. Or they changed him to a bird. Or they changed him to an animal. Or they changed him to an insect. They worship. Notice they worship. See? They changed. And he said, God. Wherefore God gave them up. Three times, and we won't get that far tonight, but I want you to look at something with me since you've got your Bibles open there. Verse 24 said, God also gave them up. Verse 26 says, for this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. In verse 28, it said, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Three times, God gives up. But he only did that after three times of them changing God's program, changing what God did. He said they changed the glory. And in verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And there's your homosexual crowd. We have become to honor what God called abominations. We have begun to glorify what God cursed. And we think we're going to get by with it. He said he changed the truth of God into a lie. I'll tell you how they do that. And we're talking about brilliant people. We're talking about people that have the PhDs. It is amazing. They changed verse 18 that we read a while ago when he said they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They used the word suppress, which is not anywhere near. It doesn't have anything to do with it. They're not suppressing the truth. They're using the truth, to promote their own way. But here, in verse 25, they changed the word change to exchange. Now, the only way you can exchange something, if you've got something comparable, you go. So if somebody gives you some clothes and they don't fit, you can exchange them for the right size, but you take your clothes. These people didn't, they're not, they didn't have the truth and exchange it for another. What? They changed the truth. They changed it into a lie, but they called it the truth. He said they changed, and that's what he said. They changed the truth into a lie. I can give you a lot of examples about that. Luke 16:23, for instance, where the Bible says in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes. And they changed that to Hades. And Hades wasn't even a word in the old Noah Webster's dictionary. You can't find it. Hades is not a translation. It's a transliteration of the Greek word. We're just saying what it said in Greek. But the translation is hell. It said in hell. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. I've often wondered. I went to a church that showed a film clip, and they were really ridiculing soul winning, and they were picturing a Christian as somebody knocking people down, linebacker religion, they called it. And I thought in my mind, I wonder how many people in hell wish somebody had done them that way. I wonder how many people in hell wish somebody had come and just knocked them down and stopped them and said, hey, let me tell you about heaven. You're going to hell. Nobody would dishonor somebody that if your house was on fire, if they came and told you about it. But see, ever we picture anybody that would preach about hell as old-fashioned, dumb, country. A fella told me one time, said, Leland, you're not just country, you downright rural. I don't think that's a compliment, brother. In the new Webster's, this is what it said Hades is. Said it's an underground abode of the dead in Greek mythology. Mythology. Hey, there you are. John 3:13. It talks about the Son. And these people have changed the word to servant. Now there's a big difference between the servant of God and the Son of God. Capital S. They changed it to servant. John 15:2, when he's talked about the vine and the branches, and he talked about purging, and they changed the word to prune. You know the difference between purging and pruning? Purging, you're cleaning up and washing. Pruning, you're cutting off. Now, was God teaching that He's cleansing His people or that He's cutting them off? Why would you change that? But this is, they changed the truth of God into a lie. 2 Timothy 2:15, a verse that pretty much all Bible believers can quote. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know the word study is changed in every English Bible but one? And they use the word be diligent. Well, goodness, that's ambiguous as it can be. They start changing things. God said, I change not. Jesus said, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus didn't come in the New Testament to kind of placate people because God of the Old Testament was too harsh. And that's what our teachers so often teach. And now it's just love. Notice what God said. Not only did they change the truth of God into a lie, notice they worshiped. See, that's the religious crowd. Turn with me your Bibles. We'll be back to Romans 1 in just a minute. Turn with me to the book of James. That's right after the book of Hebrews. James, this is why I am not much on religion. But James chapter 1, verse 27, right after the book of Hebrews. James 1, 27. It said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's religion. That's not Christianity. I won't get you heaven. You live the cleanest life in the world. You can visit the widows and you can visit everywhere. That's just religion. Christianity is that you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Worshipped and served the creature who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. We've kind of hurried through this. But through it all, some of these verses spoke to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to give a quick invitation. I'm going to invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. In a moment, the musician is going to play just as I am without one plea. We're going to pray. We're going to stand. And I want you that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to come tonight. And we'll show you how to be saved. You can leave here knowing that you're going to heaven. Our Father, bless those tonight that listened, and we pray that they heard. We pray that the message touched their, not just their minds, but their heart. And that from their heart, they'd make a commitment to you. Not me, not to the church, not to a group, but to you. That you can change their life tonight and they'd be on the road to heaven. So bless this invitation in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, heads still bowed, eyes still closed, as Brother Charles sang, will you come on the very first verse? God's spoken to you. You know what you need to do. We don't have to go into a bunch of details about it. Would you come? Maybe you just need to come and pray and get back right with God. You wandered away from Him. Come on. Come right now. Come on. Yes. Come on. Come on. Yeah, right now. Come on. Come on. Just as I am, come on. In a moment, we're going to sing one more verse. Now, you can claim to be wise and become fools, or you can say, Lord, here I am. Whatever it takes, I turn it over to you. He's given you that opportunity. Here's a chance. And like I said earlier when we started, all of us will stand before Him one day. And this night will be brought up. Are you doing what God's asking you to do? On this last verse, would you do it? We'll quit after this one, regardless of who comes. Will you come? God bless you. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir. Let's pray. Our Father, you know our hearts. Father, we're pretty fickle. If it wasn't for your grace, if it wasn't for your love, and it wasn't for your mercy, we wouldn't have a chance in hell of going to heaven. But because of you, Father, because of you, giving your Son to pay the debt on the cross for us, we get to go to heaven. Now, Father, those that are not going and should have made that decision tonight, we pray you'd give them another opportunity. We pray this would not be their last one. But help them not to turn you down much more. Thank you for those that came for whatever reason. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for all your blessings of just letting us be here and taking care of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Refreshments are open. Thank you for being here. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.